Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope.
It was reaching into the garbage and taking something out. That's digging.
You think to yourself, what the hell? I'll just eat some trash.
And the Bulldog.
Was this item that you pulled out of there right on top?
Well, there was nothing above it.
It was not trash.
Was it in the trash?
Yes.
Then it was trash.
On WGR.
You go into the garbage to retrieve something you've dug through the garbage.
My hand might have brushed against the bag.
Well, you, my friend, have crossed the line that divides man and bum. You are now a bum.
Sports Radio 550.
I'll try to proceed anyway. Try not to lose all of my confidence after hearing that analysis. Do you think you have ever, in your years of going to sports, caught yourself cheering an injury?
No.
Do you think? You're already saying no, like you are 100% sure you've never done it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't say that with a great deal of judgment necessarily in mind. I'm not a boisterous person at a live sporting event. At least I haven't been in a long time, like really coinciding with doing this. Like I did not want to be a guy that would be at a Sabres game that would be yelling things like I might be inclined to, I don't know, sometimes yell them on the radio or say them on the radio. I just didn't feel like that was something I wanted to do. So I mostly, at sporting events, have watched, and then when everyone stands up and cheers, I stand up and cheer. Most of the time, not all the time.
But you can't say that a game can't get a reaction out of you.
No, I mean, that's
As long as it's been since the Bills or Sabres deserved a reaction, like, I can't say. I can remember both teams plenty of times going to games where, like, I might have been talkative, or I might have even been not rowdy, but certainly into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether, like, I think of Umberger a little bit, a quarterback, this would be really hard for me to, like, pinpoint. Like, a quarterback going down, right? Like, in the Marino days or something, although I don't remember this ever happening with Marino here, but a quarterback going down, like, if he doesn't get up, There's a sound that I might make, because not because I'm happy that he's hurt, but because, like, you react to that and that could mean you make a sound, like, it's sort of like, whoa.
Well, sure, you're applauding the really good play by your guy that might have, like, I'm assuming if the quarterback is down, he got hit, and if he got hit, then one of my guys did a good thing.
Well, no, there's a space though between that. Like, what I'm describing is you would cheer the play or react to the play, and then there is the pause to see if the guy is going to get up. I've mentioned that Carolina game here with Newton and Mario Williams. And Mario Williams sacked him a few times, and it's the game that the Bills won right at the end. And that game was, like, really powerful for me because, like, Newton was such a big guy. And just, like, the two of those guys, to me, it was like almost like a pitcher versus batter kind of thing. Mario and Newton, like, so physical, and this confrontation, it just kept, every play was another opportunity for a big hit. And then, you know, you see the guy take the shot, and does he get up? Boxing, right? Like, I've been to boxing, and the guy's down, and, or, you know, boxing's a little different because the knocking down is the thing. The knockdown is the thing.
Right, and so is the quarterback being hit by one of the guys on your team. Like, there's an act that precedes the actual injury, if an injury comes, that would generate a response. But I don't think in that instance I would accuse anyone who's cheering Bruce Smith sacking Boomer Esiason of cheering him being hurt. If indeed he's hurt, you're cheering the act. And then, you know, if there's that pause and then there's more cheering because he's writhing in pain or not moving, well, then that's a different thing. And I'm sure that that's happened here, you know. I would think it has anyway. I mean, I don't remember, but I would bet it has. People were talking today about seeing Brady get injured on the Jumbotron at a Bills game and people cheering that. I mean, that's a little different. He's not on the ground in front of you. He can't hear your reaction, but, you know, people had a reaction to that in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That was clearly, oh, good, he's hurt. Yay. You know? The reason I answered no, but with not, like, without a lot of judgment, like negative judgment on people who last night were cheering what happened to Kevin Durant, it's I don't know, it's maybe complicated, and you can tell me if I'm trying to have it both ways, but, like, I understand it. I don't think I would ever react that way, but I think you're so amped up, and he's the bad guy. He's down. This is good.
He's the threat.
Right.
Like, you're going to win the series, but for him.
Right.
Maybe, is your thinking.
And there's so much focus, and he's coming back, and he's, you know, he was kind of killing them. You know, I mean, he was good.
Oh, yeah.
Until he got hurt. So your reaction, I think, right away is, this is good for me. You know, I can win the finals. And I don't know. I wouldn't want to hold that against it. I don't think everyone who had that reaction and was loud about it is like some needs to be judged harshly or should be judged harshly. I mean, everybody can do what they want, but, like, I wouldn't want to look down on someone who reacted that way momentarily. You know, if you're walking around today going, I'm glad he's hurt, I hate him, then I think you're kind of tangled up. But if in a moment in time, right there, he's down on the floor, your reaction is, this is good for me! I understand.
I mean, I could even go a step further with that argument to defend the guy who just doesn't like Durant and will tell you that he's happy that he's injured. Because a lot of people don't like Kevin Durant. Yet, you know, there is a distinction between whether he's right there in front of you or not.
I think so.
Whether the players are right there in front of you.
I don't like him much at all, but I like having him on the scene. But it's better for me if he's there. Not because I'm worried about the result as much.
No, you want to root against him.
But I like rooting against him. I like when he's there. And I don't want to hear, like, that you didn't do as good a job because you didn't have to deal with this guy or that guy or whatever. I like that I have someone in the NBA that I can look at and go, you're excellent. I respect your talent a great deal. I don't like you.
Yeah, you want to root against him, and it's also better for the series.
Right.
When he plays.
Yeah. Like, last night is a great, I mean, it's an incredible story in and of itself now that he got hurt and, like, the, you know, leading up to it and the pressure he must have felt to get on the floor and then this result. But it's a great story. Whoever wins last night, if he plays that whole game, it's great for Golden State and they're back in the series and that's, like, wow, what drama, and everybody's nervous. If they lose with him, but he's valiant in that effort, that's really good too for him and for his fans. So, like, I like when the best players play, even if I don't like them necessarily.
You know, it's embarrassing for Toronto. I think maybe every sports crowd would have some of that. And, like, I want to defend Toronto because I don't think this means Toronto is a certain way that other places are not. I mean, the situation is such that everything was heightened, and it was that player and that situation, and, you know, like, you were up in the series. Everything about it was, like, peak for that. The way the game started, like you said, everything about it, you could not have maybe brought out more of a reaction than the circumstances allowed for in that game. And, like, if that's us, and maybe this has been us, or if it's any place, I think, like, you're going to get that. I mean, I just think what sports is now, I mean, do we even need to say now? You know, like, in the old days, would it even necessarily been different when, like, I'm thinking about baseball, when fans threw stuff at players and, like, it was just ugly, and, like, that could have happened and did happen probably, like, a century ago. Like, I don't know what's even if it's about now.
Yeah,
a part of me wants to make a point about money, but, like, there's a jealousy thing. And it was a little bit down the road DeMarcus Cousins went down.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it even needs that.
Yeah, I thought his comments, I was waiting to bring them up, and you know, we can wait on that or do it right now. I feel any player who is upset with the crowd, with that reaction, because the players are, you know, they are obviously our people, and that's part of, like, Cousins is making a point about how to them, we're just, what can we do between the lines for you? And I'm listening to that, and like, I'm torn because I feel the emotion of being the subject of that, but you're really spitting truth, like definitive truth to me right there, because that is absolutely who you are. We can't relate to you anymore. We can't touch you. In fact, you probably, I mean, this isn't across the board, but there are challenges in sports in not wanting to know too much about the guy you want to root for. So you're almost safer if you just contain it to, what are you doing for me on the floor? Can you do anything on the floor for me? Yeah, you're not watching Kevin Durant train and work and do all the stuff that he does to be who he is. If you were doing that, or even knew someone who was doing that sort of work, you might feel differently when he's lying there on the floor. But most of us aren't doing that. We're just watching. So that is who you are to us. Like, it's impersonal, but that's the reality. I think now more than ever, there's a separation there, and my connectivity to you is it's very minimal, and it's mostly just, okay, play. Do the thing that you're making $8 million to do. That's all. That's all I need from you.
You know what else? Like, I've said that, like, you know, it comes from a joking place. It comes from a place where I've had a lot of experience on the air and feel like I can get away with more than I would have thought at the beginning of my career. And this comes from a joking place, but, you know, it can be taken seriously. You know, take Brady, for example, right? Like, there's no bigger reason for the fact that the Bills have not been good, like, say, in Sneaky Joe's lifetime, than Brady. Brady has more to do with it, arguably at least, than the Bills' own incompetence. Like, he's a big problem. Mm-hmm. He's been for 20 years almost a big problem for, like, oh, we've just never had a home playoff game in 25 years, or all the different things, all the different ways there are to put it. So, like, I'm from, like, a joking place again. Like, if I said, I'd be happy if Tom Brady got hurt. I don't want him to, like, die from his injury. But, oh, he's going to miss games? So? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of, a part of me thinks that. You know, why should I be so sympathetic toward him or some other player in some similar situation? Why do I have to be so sympathetic? Like, the guy's going to be fine. His team will not be as good. And so, okay. Like, you know, and if you, I'm probably going to sound like I'm going too far here, but, like, if you love the Raptors and you're also someone that just is not a Kevin Durant fan because the whole thing about going to the Warriors in the first place, right? And now here is, we're like one game away from him probably, it sounds like, leaving them to go to the Knicks or the Clippers or some other team and get paid, you know, like crazy, mm-hmm. and sort of do the dance again. Like, well, if he is deprived that, if I'm somebody, like, we're not friends and I'm just a person, I mean, if he's deprived that, I might take some pleasure in that because I don't happen to be that person.
Yeah.
But if I were, I would take some pleasure in that because, yeah. Your big plan, you know? So, and this is like, walk into a bar and you tell me what it sounds like. Like, many times, and I will have to admit, someone who would know what it sounds like in bars. Like, you'll hear some of the worst things ever just from fans that they don't think they're bad to say. They can, it can be called that they are, you know?
Yeah.
But it is the kind of thing where you're detached from it. And like you said, I think that's a great point, that you might choose to be. You might not only feel like you are, but you might choose to be detached from it. And then at an NBA game,
or more importantly, they've chosen to do that to you. I mean, really, by keeping you on the outside. I mean, it's just, it works both ways, I think.
Okay. So you're at an NBA game where I think it's really magnified. Like, you can see people, they can see you, you can hear them. Yeah. Like, it's all just, it's just like it's a situation where you would notice it the most. And it's the finals, and it's this player.
Yeah.
So it would be like the, like I said before, I guess, the situation was just like perfectly ripe for that.
Yeah.
Not that it's okay, you know, like
right, no,
I would tell my kids, you know, right, like we don't do that.
Right.
But there is a little space there for when you might react to something with all that other stuff underneath you, and then in like a second or two, you're like, wait, this is bad.
Yeah, right. And I think that's mostly what you have. You know, I don't know. I don't have any huge issue with any of it, really. You know, the Raptors players on the floor were good, and the crowd seemed to respond to them, and either drowned out or people just stopped reacting the way they were reacting initially, and that's a good job. That shows like some awareness. Okay, wow, that was bad. That's bad. All right, tough. You know. I'm not at all someone who, you know, I'm not the biggest fan either. Like, I don't like Durant, and I don't like that he went to Golden State. Like, everything you laid out there about a certain kind of fan describes me to a point, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on the radio. If I were sitting in a bar, I would tell someone, honestly, I feel bad that the guy's hurt, and he's about to go into free agency, and it's, for me, it's a lot about the pressure that is within the machine to get back and be there for the guys and the organizational pressure and like whatever that must be, like knowing as the best player maybe in the league currently, your absence is being felt and that pressure to come back, like that's the real sadness to me in the story, is that he was trying to do the thing that people get credit for doing, and it went as horribly as it could go.
Yeah, and he's somebody that I think really cares a lot about that.
Yeah.
And maybe doesn't get that.
Right.
And he might not have realized, like on a personal level, that he was signing up for a lifetime, if that's not too dramatic, of not getting that particular credit.
Yeah.
Because the team is so good. So he'll never be a gamer to most fans because they already decided he is a bandwagoner. So you can't be both.
Yeah. Well, unless now, you know, he comes back whenever he comes back, and like, you know, if I don't want to fool around with timelines, but it seems realistic he could miss the entire year. But he doesn't have to have his career be over. He can come back from that injury. So, you know, he comes back and is still the Kevin Durant he's been. Maybe he will then be a gamer because he came back and tore his Achilles and missed an entire year. He sacrificed, what's he going to get paid for next year if he were healthy?
$35 million.
I mean, that is a huge, you know, it's big. So maybe he'll acquire that.
Yeah, now he can be an underdog.
Yeah, once we get, you know, he's going to have to wait like 16 months for it.
It's okay.
You know, but it'll come.
Now he can be a sympathetic figure.
Right. Right.
Michael Vick went to prison. I mean, that was for longer than this injury will take.
Yes, that's right.
And he came back, and people sort of felt like you didn't have to feel this way.
Yeah.
But, you know, very different, very different. But there are other examples like that where you think, like, oh, it's way out there. But then it happens. It comes. Do we don't know yet, like, officially what his injury is. The reports are all, like, you know, the Warriors expect, right from last night, the Warriors expect torn Achilles. And I don't think, to my satisfaction, I have not read the official account or the definitive account on how this injury could or did connect to what he was already suffering from. Like, does that have to be connected? He was cleared to play. You heard this, you know, owner or this guy, Myers, last night, GM, you know, take the blame for it, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, If anybody has to, I should. We cleared him, you know, all that. He was very emotional. I want to know that next.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, circumstantially, it almost looks obvious that it would be. I don't know physiologically that it has to be, but it just, someone noted before he got cleared, maybe it was in the time between Friday's game and yesterday's game, where he had the ice bag. Joe, maybe even you tweeted it over the weekend. He had an ice bag, and it was not on his calf. It was down low, like near the ankle where the Achilles is. and or at least where the Achilles starts, like down there. And like Joe made a note of that, and I saw it and thought, like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I mean, I don't know, you know, the calf is big, the Achilles extends.
But, I couldn't tell you that.
But I thought, like, you know, it would be surprising, I think, just, you know, one man's opinion that there was no relationship between the injuries.
My calf is down there. My Achilles tendon is down there. My ankle's down there. Shin. We got a bunch of stuff down there.
We are like,
I don't know exactly
we are 10 seconds away from singing that skeleton song.
The shin bone. I don't know exactly where everything starts and stops, honestly.
Yeah, but
I tore an ankle tendon in 2001 and had surgery on that, and I actually, as you know, am thinking that I might have done it again on the other ankle, like in the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been, you know, paying some attention to the area.
Yes, right.
But I couldn't, like, I wouldn't see a bag of ice on the back of someone's leg and be like, hmm.
Yeah. I would, only because I had Achilles tendonitis at one point. It was like the first step in what has become a deterioration of my ability to run like I used to, like I like to. Like, that was the first thing that went wrong. It never tore, but it felt very much like the kind of thing that if I kept going, was going to. And where it hurt was where he had that ice bag the other night when Joe pointed it out on Twitter. But, you know, whatever. Again, that's pretty circumstantial. But anyway, you know, I'd love to know how, like, the GM would be as the GM trying to take the blame. Maybe he deserves the blame, you know, because internally they would know just how right he really was. And was he 100%? I would doubt that. Because it just doesn't seem like the kind of thing that would have improved so much to the point where, like, suddenly you couldn't play Friday, now you're playing Monday and you're 100%. Like, you couldn't go at whatever you were on Friday. It just seemed weird to me.
The player wants to be out there. The player's reputation, this player's reputation are on the line. You know from all sports how that goes. The player begs to be out there. Some injuries are dangerous to play with, like a head injury or something, and the player wants to go. And you have a team guy who goes, you shouldn't be on the field, or a league independent, somebody who goes, you shouldn't be on the field. And that's really tough to figure out, or unless you settle for that's the bottom line and you shouldn't play.
Yeah.
But it's pro sports, a lot of money, legacy, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Guys who play would tell you that they will take the risk, even if they're not necessarily of right mind. And is this an injury like that? Is this an injury where it's dangerous? Look how good he was in the game before he got hurt. So, I don't know. It happens. 803-0550 is the number.
Right. Only those people, like that inner group there, the doctors, the trainers, the GM, Durant himself, would know what risk there was. I would think there had to be some, and you just decide, okay, well, whatever. I'm going to live with it. I'm fine. I feel good enough. And everybody goes, okay, yeah, let's do it. And then it just goes horribly.
Well, if there's something more to what he was dealing with before that for some reason wasn't reported, maybe this will make more or less sense, you know? But if he had a calf strain, like they always said, and he got better, and he was playing great, and then this happened, I don't know, not being a doctor, I feel like that could have happened. But we still have to see what the exact thing is here with this guy. What a night.
Yeah, right. I mean, the game.
And the game, like, what a night. 803-0550. Have you done it? Have you cheered for an injury? I mean, a lot of people have done it. Not that many of us want to admit to it. Umberger, Rob Johnson, Tom Brady, you know, last night. Lines are open for you. We'll talk to Sal about the beginning of minicamp today and other things along the way. As always, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, 3-7 here on...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
WGR.
this level of greatness and everybody's kind of poking and prodding, trying to narrate your story and tell you who you are, who you should be, what decisions you should make constantly over and over and over again. It's part of, you know, what comes with this territory, but it's just when you get to know somebody and see how genuine they are and how committed they are just to playing basketball and having fun and living life a certain way. You root for those type of guys. Whatever his outward appearance is or whatever he says to the media or whatever, like, at the end of the day, the people that know him know what type of guy he is and, you know, how special of an individual he is.
Steph Curry. One thing that I have come to really appreciate and like about the NBA is the people, the personality. Personality isn't just touchdown dances. Like, it's some really thoughtful guys at the top of the food chain in the NBA. Like, LeBron might have been the turning point for that for me, like the awareness of that. Like, LeBron was outspoken and impressive. And, like, here's Curry right there, or you take DeMarcus Cousins. Like, I know Cousins swore, so I hope I can say this, you know, knowing that. They're downright eloquent. Whether talking about a teammate or they're talking about, you know, how they reacted to the fans last night in Toronto. And, like, these topics, they can be downright eloquent. Kerr, I mean, the coaches.
Yeah, Kerr's great. Yeah.
Like, it's just beautiful. You know, I am so conditioned to expect the absolute least from coaches and players that we listen to all the time. Because they're usually not forthcoming or interesting. You know, and I think basketball really is a cut above. And maybe I'd have to admit, like, I'm listening to the elite stars and not listening to the
right,
like, the commenters of the league, you know, because we're not covering a team like that. But I love listening to those guys last night.
Yeah, it feels very much to me like, in, you know, and everybody's different, but, like, with Kerr, for example, like, once you've gone a certain distance to make your feelings known about whatever social issues you're commenting on, like, once you're out there, I think you just, okay, well, all right, people are aware that I stand for this, so I'll expand upon it, or even if it's repetitive, I'll make the same point again. It's important. I'll use this platform for whatever it's, you know, whatever good it can do, knowing that you're going to get rained on probably really hard by the other side. But I admire people that are willing to do that, for sure.
Yeah, there's that part. That is part of it. The fact that they're kind of brave sometimes.
Yeah.
803-0550, the fans cheering the Durant injury and Durant and all of it. Is what we're talking about here on WGR. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sneaky Joe. Lines are open. So I fell asleep. I was super excited for this game. I did not make it to the fourth quarter.
No, me either.
And that upsets me. I woke up with the TV on. I fell asleep on the couch watching the game. I woke up with the TV on at like 2. And what channel was the game on? ESPN or
it was on
ABC?
ABC, yeah.
So what did I do then? I guess I went to ESPN at 2 o'clock. I don't know. Like, I got to ESPN, and they were showing highlights from the end of the game. Like, I just walked into that. And it was Kawhi Leonard's 8 straight points.
Right.
Was, like, the SportsCenter. They're telling the story. And I'm like, Toronto did it.
Right.
I am watching. Right. I am watching the highlights. I fell asleep. I was confident when I was falling asleep that Toronto would win. Like, I just thought Toronto would win. So that's the first thing I see. I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm watching the highlights, and Toronto did it. And so this is like the rare time that a highlight package is telling me what happened in a game I care about.
Right.
How often does that happen?
Right.
For me, like, I never watch SportsCenter. I don't need SportsCenter.
Right.
I just never need it. Like, I know what happened in anything that I cared about, unless it's like super late maybe, but, you know, whatever. Like, this is the finals. And so I'm watching the highlights, and, like, Toronto won. That's awesome. I mean, good for them. And I'm waiting to see, like, the parade, basically.
Right.
And then they talked about the timeout that was called.
Right.
And it's 3-3-3, Thompson, Curry, Thompson, or whatever the order was. And then the last shot, like, wow. I mean, I had, it was so little time, but I ended up being shocked.
You had like a little Cliff Notes version of actually having watched the game then, is what it sounds like. Like you had a similar experience as you would have had. You didn't know the result while you were watching the highlights. They leaned you one way at the beginning of the highlights, and then there was a dramatic twist. Like, what? Wait, what? What happened?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I think that's about as good as you can do falling asleep during a live sporting event.
Yes.
Is to wake you up, know, go to the highlights, not see the score, and watch the highlights and think you're getting one result and then get the other.
Right. One more minute. Like, if it's like one minute later or 2 minutes later or 2 minutes earlier, and it's not right there, I'm just going to my phone to see who won.
Right.
Like, I don't get the highlight. I don't get the experience.
But if there's a commercial on when you go to ESPN.
Right. I'm going to my phone to see who won.
You're going to the
app,
and you're going to see 106, 105 right away, which is what I did at 2:30 in the morning when I woke up.
How about us?
Except it took me a few minutes. You want a little more? I'll give you a little more. I've got the giant. I got the biggest iPad on earth, right? That's what's next to my bed. And I wake up. I turn it on. And I go to that app, and I'm still bleary-eyed, and it looks to me like it's 106-106 as I'm looking at the score. But Golden State is highlighted, so they won. But why? What is that? What is? I need the
road goals.
Right. I'm like, what?
They won on penalties.
That can't be right. Like, what? I needed to look over on the left side where it was bigger, and there was a whole game store. And I'm like, oh, okay, 106-105. My eyes are bad, and it's also 2:30 in the morning.
So then. I mean, I was happy that Golden State won. There's more games, and that's cool. So I fall back asleep, and I wake up at 7. My son is downstairs getting ready for school. He's up early. We're at our house. Is this normal? When it gets light out at like 5:30 in the morning, everybody's up just 2 hours early. I mean, everybody's like the sunlight. It's on my dad. My dad always was too. Like, you wake up with the sun.
Yeah.
So we're all awake, and 7 o'clock is the time. And I turned the TV off after I found out about the game. I turned on the TV again because I wanted to sit there with him and watch the highlights, just see how he'd react to it. I didn't tell him to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm watching SportsCenter at like 7:01 or 7:02 this morning. And it's about Durant. And I was curious, like, is this first? They're talking about Durant. They showed him getting hurt. They played the audio a few different times and showed the crowd a few different times. They showed the party outside and people like everywhere mm-hmm. reacting to Durant's injury in Toronto. The DeMarcus Cousins soundbite comes next. Like they're covering that story right here.
Right.
And I'm curious to know, is this first? Is this the beginning of the show? Is this before the game?
Right.
And it was.
At 7:02, I would think it is.
That's right. That's why I wondered. Yeah. It was. Because finally, when they got through the Durant package, they said, by the way, there was a game, too.
Right, let's tell the story of the game
and
now.
Like, how about that?
Yeah.
I mean, game 5 of the finals, and you could. I mean, they did. But that was the first story,
yeah.
Was what happened with Kevin Durant. So.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, it's a – everyone – lots of people are going to have an opinion about how the game went and whether you should have gotten a better shot when you got the ball with 15 seconds left and a chance to win, or how good a job Draymond Green did to get his finger on the Lowry shot that could have won it for Toronto, whatever. More people are going to have a reaction to 20,000 people cheering an injured guy than they are the result of that game, I think. Like, that's how this works. It's how we do what we do on a certain scale, and it certainly is the business ESPN is in.
I guess we just did it.
Right, exactly.
That's where my mind was when we started.
Yeah, because that's just more, there's just more to say about that. It's more of a human, you know,
more interesting.
Yeah, it's all of us, as opposed to just like, oh, great, let's break down how, you know, they did a good job of doubling Leonard on the last possession. Okay, whatever.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, right. We'll show you.
They'll get to that.
We'll show you what we
will never get
no,
to that.
No, never, no. So that's not that surprising to hear, really.
Well, Pardon the Interruption comes on, or all these different shows today that list for you on the screen what the topics are. I'll be curious to see what the order is. Plus, it's the next day, so Durant is more likely to be at the top of that list
yes.
the next day.
Yes, I would think the drama around and like whoever, if indeed any reporters are working to try to, you know, uncover if anybody in the Golden State organization is going to want to divulge how they made the decision, if there'll be sources about how cleared he should have been or shouldn't have been, or if anyone disagreed or whatever, like that's a huge drama on that. I mean, this is the greatest free agent in the history of the sport almost. I mean, it's close. He's not, I mean, LeBron James went through this and made a choice, so I mean, it's not the greatest, but
still,
I mean, it's a big, big, big story.
Yeah.
And how he got there and just how much blame, if any, the organization is gonna feel for it or should feel for it is, I would think, a story that will go on through the summer.
This is another one where you'd want to look in the mirror, though. Like cheering for the injury, you look in the mirror and you go, did I do that? Would I do that? Can I justify that? You know, all the things you might ask, like we talked about earlier. And then with his being hurt, like, that's another thing as a fan. We're Toronto in the sense that we don't have a title. So, like, the fact that it's a first time might matter in the equation for people. For some people it would, for some people it wouldn't. He comes back from an injury, and whoever gets blamed for it, the organization, he won't get blamed for it. He'll get credit for it. The organization will get blamed for it. Like Charles Barkley did that.
Right.
Barkley blamed the Warriors.
100% shouldn't have played.
But so like if we're – now that's Golden State, not Toronto. If we're on the brink of a title or we're in the finals or something like that, and somebody who – you know, it's reports day after Tim Connolly, you know, like day after day after day, as he could play or he couldn't play. We got to see, you know, what's the latest on this. You know how we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there,
right.
We don't care what happens in free agency. We don't care about concussions. We want you to play because we want to win.
Right.
So are we just going to, that's okay. Like we're going to all be like that. That would be how we would sound. So it's different in certain ways here, but you know that's another one. Like I said, as fans, you want to look in the mirror on that. Like, Okay, well, should you feel bad about that? It's just your sports team. It's not your life. You know, it's a part of your life, but
It's probably a disproportionate part of your life, and especially at moments where it's really ratcheted up. Like, you know, again, the cauldron of the game itself. You know, reactions. I wouldn't want to judge someone harshly on a reaction in that moment, just because I think there's a lot of factors, and it's, you know, letting go and living in that moment with the adrenaline and the anxiety and all that is a part of what you're paying for. So if, you know, you get on the wrong side of a moral dilemma, I understand, you know, like I'm going to cut you some slack. It's a little bit of a, you know, different rules. That's why I said earlier, like to me, like I would totally understand someone reacting the way they did in the moment. I would not have a lot of respect for someone telling me they're glad he's hurt now, like today, 12 hours later. It's like, you know, that feels ghoulish to me. I definitely don't feel that way. And I would have a hard time like really respecting that point of view from someone, myself.
If this is allowed, it is disturbing to me to watch the Toronto fans who are right there. Like, there's a woman who's laughing, and you don't even know what she's laughing about, necessarily. Like, the man to her left points out the injury, and then you see people second, third, fourth row who are getting up and cheering a little bit. Like, that's disturbing when it's, like, right in front of you. I think I would be different, you know, in the cheap seats versus that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's, like, right in front of me, like, it's just... it's a weird way to put it, maybe, but the fact that he's a person is just more,
I'm more
cognizant of
he's
that.
He's more of a person if you're 20 feet away from him. Yeah, right.
Like,
right.
Can see or hear you there. You know, up at the top, you feel like, you know, it's an instinct.
Yeah.
But I'd have a different instinct. I might have a different instinct if I'm out of range, out of view.
And certainly, like, watching in the square is even more removed, watching at home, whatever. You know, it's all... There's all just degrees of separation from it that I think insulate you and therefore might, you know, allow you to feel like you can have a different reaction.
We'll talk to Sal Capaccio about Durant, too, and the game, too, as well as the Bills' first day of minicamp. More practices, new name.
Yep.
Somewhat the same thing. New people out there.
But this one has a – there's a finish line here. Like, this comes and goes, and then they're gone until the end of July. So it's
okay.
This week –
can we still talk to Sal once
week,
in a while?
I hope so. But this week is it, and then they're gone for, I think, like 6 weeks or so.
All right, so some Bill stuff coming up shortly. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is WGR.
Oh, we got a pair of tickets to a concert that's happening this Saturday at the Darien Lake Amphitheater. It's the Zac Brown Band. Minimum value of this prize is $80. The tickets come courtesy of the nice folks at Live Nation. General contest rules apply. You can still buy some if you'd like at livenation.com or win a pair right here, right now, 644-9878, caller 5, Zac Brown Band.
You know, if you ask me, when we give tickets away to a band, we should probably play that band's music.
I think that's what's happening here, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you
sure? It's a good plan.
Didn't Joe draft something from the Zac Brown Band in the song draft?
I did. I think it was one of the only country songs drafted.
It definitely was.
I think I had three of the country songs drafted, which might have been all of them.
You had Friends in Low Places, and you had are you counting John Denver?
I think so.
As
yeah,
country?
Right?
Okay.
Kinda.
Sure. Yeah.
2.5 country.
Take Me Home Country Roads. The word country is in the song.
Right. And what Zac Brown Band song did you take?
Was Colder it? Weather, which okay. is one of not, probably not their most popular, but one of their more popular songs.
And that's it for country? I didn't get to Johnny Cash or anything?
I don't think Paul drafted. I thought Paul was going to be my competition for country, and I don't think he went there.
Yeah.
You could have picked Colder Weather. That's what you did. I mean.
Well, that was definitely with
I might have picked Sound of Silence.
And I didn't even know that he had played ping pong with John Denver, which would have
right.
definitely would have picked that.
What a revelation that day. Paul playing ping pong
memories
with John Denver.
Memories of the song draft.
From this what was that story winter. Again? Was that the odd or something? He was...
I Paul think so. Was, something with him working security.
No, I think he was back at Iowa State. I think he worked on security for concerts at while
oh,
he was
really?
In college, I think is where that is. I think that's where that is, but I'm
okay.
I don't know, let's call Paul. I'll get to the bottom of that. I'm not sure now.
Gotta call. Better call Paul.
Better call Paul. Speaking of music, did you see this Radiohead story that's making the rounds
yep.
today?
Yep.
What a story. Somebody, if you don't know, like someone hacked into a drive, a computer drive that I guess it's Tom York had stored all this material that they had worked on while making the record OK Computer. So it was just sitting there and someone hacked in and got access to it. And then I didn't see any reporting on this hacking or the threat. Like somebody contacted them and said, we've got this and we want $150,000 or we're going to release it. And rather than pay these criminals $150,000, Radiohead just went, we're just going to release it on Bandcamp and you can pay a fee and it'll all go to charity. And so here, have at it. This is all just, you know, outtakes and stuff left over from those recording sessions.
Great move.
Yeah, really solid.
I love Radiohead. You said a long time ago, they're a winter band for you. It's not Radiohead season right now.
They're a winter
for
band for me, that's right.
I listen to them at least once a week. Like, when I'm alone, just what do I want to listen to? You know how it is, though, like with music, or maybe you're different. Music, restaurants, places, like the same music, the same restaurants come to mind. And I have to really work to think about like different choices than I'm mm-hmm. used to making.
Yeah.
Which, you know, can be rewarding, but I think I'm like most people in that way, that where do I want to go? The same
Right, yep.
five restaurants are the ones that come to mind.
Right.
And the same five bands are the ones that come to mm-hmm. mind, you know? Unless I specifically have someone tell me, try this. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, then I'll think to do that. Otherwise, right. I'm going to listen to Radiohead.
Yep. Yeah, I think that happens no matter
movies.
How much music. I mean, we all have access to a really limitless amount of music, so everyone's the same in that way. It's not restricted to what records you have. But I'm like that even with all the records I have. I will go up there, and I go through phases. It's like certain, the War on Drugs, War on Drugs, War on Drugs. And then I'll have to consciously think as I'm going up there, don't put that on again. Like, it's great. You love it. Pick something else.
Pick
God's
something
sake,
else.
Will you? There's 1,000 records up here. Pick a different record.
We'll go anywhere but there tonight. All right.
Right.
So don't. Whatever.
Right.
I'm going to ask you where you guys want to go. Don't pick there. Anywhere but there is fine. Nothing against it. We have to try something different. Sal, coming up after the update here on WGR.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.